Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on March 19, 2006. Her sermon was titled, Shattered Mirrors, Moving from Consumption to Contemplation. The lectionary readings are Psalm 19 and Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 18.
I once went on a 2.5-week backpacking trip on wilderness trails into the Grand Canyon. Guided by Colin Fletcher's wonderful little book, The Man Who Walked Through Time, the mystery of walking through history at a backpacker's pace enlarged my sense of God and God's glory. At the end of the trip, back at the rim of the canyon, sweating hard while still savoring the experience and waiting for my friends, I witnessed something I will never forget. A man, woman, and a crying child got out of their car, walked over closer to the rim, then returned to the car in a hurry, and the man said, "Okay, all right, I'm coming, we're going. It's just I thought there would be more to see." I have a practice of signing my letters, Grace and Peace. It's a practice and a prayer every time, every communication. But about 3 weeks ago, I got some funny emails and notes and calls from friends saying, "I think there's something going on in your life." And it was because I had a consistent typographical error. And instead of Grace and Peace, I was writing Grace and Pace. I may have experienced the backpacker's pace and the wilderness trails of the Grand Canyon and other backpacking switchbacks, but that is not my pattern or my pace in my daily life. I think of that poor family I saw at the rim of the Grand Canyon. I have so been there. They did not even know what they did not see. I live my life like that too many times, surrounded by glory, and in too much of a hurry to hear or to see or to be. I know not what I do, and I know not what I do not see, and am left at the end of the day or an experience sensing something missing. The psalmist says, "The heavens are telling the glory of God. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world." To hear the voice of creation, to see a vision of the glory of God in the most mundane matters, means moving more slowly, moving from consumption to contemplation. With a mirror as vast as creation itself, in a canyon, in the face of children, in a human hand, in a grain of sand, reflections of glory are shattered by speed. God, the creator of all that is too great to be consumed. Contemplation is our calling. Contemplation of breath, of beauty, of a baby's cry, of pain, of a moment, of a day, of the daily news, restores distorted fragments and reflects the full glory of our God in each and in all. When our family was vacationing in Yosemite some years ago, we set out on the trail to Mirror Lake, and I've shared this story with some of you. The hike was way too long from the first steps for our two boys. For them, the fun and adventure was lost after about, well, actually a few hundred yards, really. And Jim and I began cheerleading for Mirror Lake and spinning images of how fantastic it was going to be. And Andrew asked us, will I really be able to see my face in the lake? And then finally, after what seemed forever, we got there and there was no lake. It was a swamp filled with mosquitoes. Needless to say, we were all disappointed, but the parental units were desperate. And we danced as fast as we could to, look at that big mosquito, showing them the exciting things that we could find in that moment. And then we saw the sign that had been posted by a ranger that read, "You are witnessing the birth of Mirror Meadow." And we began to see what we had not seen, the transition of creation itself in that moment. Sometimes the images we carry to carry on sustain us, but sometimes they get in the way. A simple sign giving a new name to what was still before us allowed us to see it in a different way, to see beauty along the trail. Beauty in new possibility means slowing down and moving from expectation to revelation. One of my favorite human beings in the world is Bishop Ken Carter. He was bishop in Tennessee. He's the primary author of the Bishop's Initiative on Children and Poverty. He retired in 2004, and he and his wife Ruth retired to Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. Lake Junaluska, known to us most recently as a setting for hope and healing and hospitality and the Holy Spirit at the Hearts of Fire consultation. Lake Junaluska is a stunningly beautiful place. It is clear water reflecting trees and birds and mountains. It's a place of natural peace and blessing. Bishop Carter, once they moved there, began walking around the lake every day. And it was such a restoring practice for his spirit. One day as he headed out, there in the middle of his favorite pristine path was a cola can crumpled. He stopped and picked it up, and he carried it on his walk the rest of the way, really irritated that someone would do such a thing in such a beautiful place. When he finished his walk, he took the can and he placed it on the kitchen table and he told his wife Ruth all about it. And the next day on his walk, he spotted more garbage and he picked it up along the way and he carried it in his pockets. And then he was really increasingly irritated at the disrespect for God's creation and environmental pollution that was going on. And when he got home, he dumped all the trash on the table and emptied all his pockets and he told Ruth all about it. And he decided the next day that he was going to carry some plastic garbage bags with him on his hike. And he had found his mission on his walk. From then on, he filled at least 2 garbage bags with trash. And he got to be expert at spotting trash, not only on the path, but in the bushes or off to the side. He could pick out at several hundred yards a piece of trash that small and place it in his bag. And every day he got so good, he would display his trash on the table and tell Ruth all about it. And finally, Ruth asked him, "Did you remember to look at the lake? Did you remember to look at the lake?" I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so focused on the trash I pick up every day and the need to unload that at home, on an altar almost, that I forget the glory that surrounded me that day in God's creation, for which you don't have to go to Lake Junaluska or Yosemite or the Grand Canyon. Surrounds us every day. And the image of God and the love of God in the faces of others and in my own life and in my own struggles. To see glory in the midst of present realities means moving more slowly and moving from grim determination, even for the highest purposes, to grateful vision. The U.S. government continues to stand outside the virtually unanimous agreement among the nations of this world to place limits on the release of gases that are now known to contribute to global warming. Elizabeth Colbert has just published a book about this entitled Field Notes from a Catastrophe. When an interviewer told her that her work on global warming has been compared to Rachel Carson's groundbreaking work, Silent Spring, about pesticides, she said that she was flattered, but then she went on to say that what troubled her was that Rachel Carson exposed and revealed dangers that were unseen and unknown, and that what is different now and what is disheartening to her is that her work is about something that is already well known and well seen. She said, the question is, why aren't we listening? We live in a time when social, economic, political, environmental, and spiritual realities are being radically reconfigured by our technologies and by our human priorities and decisions. Like disjointed images in a shattered mirror, we open our eyes and minds and hearts to seek God's glory revealed in new and unexpected ways, in fragments rather than in formation. Today, on the third anniversary of the beginning of the war in Iraq, our scripture readings are two. The first scripture, a psalm of the glory of God, inviting us to listen to creation. And our gospel reading, the story of Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers. Listen to creation. Look to God's law. Live God's justice. Jesus entered the temple in Jerusalem and overturned those tables, those who were buying and selling and providing materials for worship. I have to differ with you, Nancy, on this. He was quoting Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations." Stop making it this house of prayer a den of robbers. Now, the den of robbers is not the marketplace. The den of robbers is where you go for refuge after you do your thieving. Jesus, I believe, was shutting down business as usual, even worship as usual in the temple, inside the temple, even in the courtyards, in order to reveal, to open to the people, the injustice outside the temple's walls, outside the gates. He disrupted predictable practices that give us comfort in order to open us to voices we do not hear and visions we do not see. Injustice outside stops worship inside, whether of temple or church or human life. This is a house of prayer, not a place to hide. Look beyond what we assume and what we think we know. Speed, consumption, entitlement, expectation, grim determination, denial, empire, we can so easily be turned away from the glory that resides in God's creation, God's law, and God's purposes. Let's look at the house God has given to us. Let's listen to the created order that has been entrusted to us. Let's work for justice for the human community of all nations and look for new images, even in shattered fragments, that may be wholly shown through God's grace and mercy. And then with the psalmist, we pray, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts Be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthberkeley@gmail.com. That's epworthberkeley@gmail.com. The website of Epworth United Methodist Church is www.epworthberkeley.org. That's www.epworthberkeley.org.